Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Before I get to the explanation of the yen carry trade and why its end puts another dagger into the monetary bubble, let's go over a few salient data points of the past week. Starting with a tweet from the Kobayashi letter. The U.S. now has a record $17.8 trillion in household debt, a record $12.5 trillion in mortgages outstanding, record $1.6 trillion in auto loans, a near record $1.6 trillion in student loans, and a record $1.1 trillion in credit card debt. Total household debt is now up 53% over the last decade, and total credit card debt is up 50% since 2020. Meanwhile, delinquency rates on credit cards and auto loans are nearing the highs seen in 2008. Consumers have been forced to fight inflation with debt, and this cannot end well. And that was from the Kobayashi letter. Here's some other data points you should be aware of that I compiled myself this past week. The number of U.S. companies currently under Chapter 11 bankruptcies is at a 13-year high, surging by 145% in the past 2 years. Stock ownership of U.S. households is now at a record 42%, even higher than the 38% seen in the dot-com fever of 2000. For reference, it was just 9% of households that owned stocks in the early 80s. That's when you want to buy stocks. That's when you want to load up when everybody else is out, because those are all potential buyers. All of the potential buyers, or nearly all, are already in. Mortgage rates have dropped from 7.8% in October of 2023 to 6.5% as of last week. The yen carry trade chaos drove rates down by 30 basis points alone just 1 week. This helped send mortgage refinance applications up 118% year over year. However, even though interest rates have fallen significantly, applications to purchase a home were still down 8% year over year. The real estate transaction market remains hopelessly frozen because home prices are unaffordable for most Americans. The reduction of mortgage rates does not change that fact at all. Credit and asset bubbles are running on fumes. The end of the yen carry trade is just one more piece of the monetary puzzle that has now gone missing. So now let me tell you about the yen carry trade and why it's important and how it caused markets to crash worldwide. After 8 years of forcing a negative nominal interest rate on the Japanese borrower, the Bank of Japan raised the overnight borrowing rate to, drumroll, 0.25% on July 31st, the end of last month. That rate is the highest it has been in 15 years. And the Bank of Japan, by raising rates above negative to 0.25%, helped trigger the reversal of what is known as the yen carry trade. What is the yen carry trade? This is where the shadow banking system, that is hedge funds and pension funds and investment banks, borrow yen at 0% interest rates and sell it, that currency, on the FX market, international exchange currency market, for other currencies to invest in that country's stocks and bonds and other assets. These assets spin off a higher yield than zero. That's all they need to do, is spin off a greater return, a bigger yield or dividend than zero. Not hard. And the currency denominating those assets had been appreciating against the yen. It was a double victory, double win. You profit from the yield differential and from the currency trade. In fact, the trade was so attractive that it sent the yen crashing to the lowest level against the dollar since 1986. Of course, a crashing yen is terrible for a nation that must import everything it consumes. And since the yen was down nearly 40% since the year 2020, it caused Japan's import prices to skyrocket by 110% over the past 4 years. That's real inflation in Japan, not the massage numbers they put out. Japan's import prices up 110% in the last 4 years. That's insanity, as the yen has crashed. And this was enough to get the Bank of Japan into action. It had to force, it forced themselves off of that rate hiking regime of, you know, two rate hikes. However, the end of free money offered by the Bank of Japan sent the yen carry trade crowd scrambling to unwind the trade simultaneously, all at once. The process involves first selling stocks and bonds and cryptos and commodities in whatever currency investors were long, and then selling those currencies to buy back the yen to cover the short. The chaos, that process caused the Japanese Nikkei Dow to crash by 20% in 5 days. If you thought central bankers and governments care more about the middle class than they do the wealthy bankers, think again. More proof. This is more proof in Japan. Apparently, just one bad week of trading, just one bad week, sent the Japanese government scrambling to walk back its flaccid and ephemeral attempt to fight inflation. 1 week after Japan's central bank's president, Kazuo Ueda, shook up global markets with comments about continuing to raise interest rates, one of his deputies had to come out and recant those words and promise not to raise rates when markets are unstable. The pledge by Bank of Japan Deputy Governor Shinichi Uchida led to a sharp recovery in Tokyo stock prices and a fall in the yen. Here's this quote. Quote, therefore, the bank will not raise its policy interest rate when financial and capital markets are unstable. Close quote. This is this Uchida, the deputy governor, not Ueda, who's the president. And that was enough to push markets back to where they were before the July 31st news conference by Governor Ueda. So apparently in Japan, interest rates that rise to 0.25% is enough to send the global market into turmoil. Absolute chaos. But the chaos is not over. The yen is back to crash mode, of course, and inflation is breaking the back of the fragile Japanese economy once again. By the way, the panic rate cuts now being supplicated in the mainstream financial media with the U.S. central bank would only exacerbate the unwind of the yen carry trade because that would force the dollar down versus the yen. It would put even more downward pressure on that exchange rate pair. So the big takeaway here, besides the disgusting behavior of central bankers, is that market liquidity is tightening. Let me give you 5 points to highlight that shows that the market liquidity is very close to being evaporated. Number one, the Fed's balance sheet has shrunk from $9 trillion in the middle of 2022 to just over $7 trillion today, and that continues to shrink. So base money supply, about $2 trillion of it has already been destroyed, and that is continuing. The real Fed funds rate has been in positive territory for over a year after being negative for most of the time between 2002 all the way to 2023. And it was negative by as much as minus 8%. But now the Fed's dot plot is showing the overnight lending rate falling to just 4.1% by the end of 2025, which would still be well above the rate of inflation. 2% inflation, which is where we're headed, to you need 2.1% to get to 4.1. So it'd be a positive 2%. And traditionally, a real cost to borrowing funds after they've been negative has always led to a recession. Banks' lending standards have been tightened, and the inverted yield curve is crimping borrowing, thus reducing the amount of new loans, that is, new money creation. The reverse repo facility has now just about become normalized. falling from $2.5 trillion back in 2022 to just $300 billion today. And now with the yen carry trade on life support for the foreseeable future, because these carry traders are frightened to death of what the Bank of Japan could do. It's not free money anymore. It's no longer negative rates. It's now positive rates that could go higher in front of the Fed that is about to go on a rate cutting cycle. The liquidity that has been fueling asset bubbles for the past few years is now reduced to fumes. You see, the simple truth is it takes a tremendous amount of continuous new money creation to keep asset prices at artificially high levels, especially when they're this deformed from reality. But now the new money creation process has gone into reverse. Therefore, since the home price to income ratio is at a record high, along with the total market cap of equities as a percentage of GDP, the gravitational forces of deflation should soon start to pull these asset prices to a level that can be supported by incomes and the underlying growth of the economy. That is about 40% lower in both real estate and in equity prices for those keeping score. The IDEC model's process has us on alert for the true beginning of calamities to begin. The true beginning, not 1 week aberrations that can go away for a while. However, it also keeps us from going into deflation protection mode too soon. Last week was a very good example of how Pento Portfolio Strategies clients did not get hurt at all during the yen carry trade carnage, which saw the NASDAQ drop by 11% in just a few days. This is because we were already positioned for disinflation, which is a position where you want to have bond and bond proxies instead of high volatility investments. The model will inform me when to move to a deflationary defensive posture. We are getting closer to that position by the day. Patience should be very well rewarded. After all, going short the last vestiges of a bull market, even though that market is running out of gas and is on fumes, can be very costly and can last longer than most people think. But likewise, being long a market that is about to enter a vicious bear phase can be just as disastrous, if not more so. In fact, if you get it correct, you might turn a disaster into a fairly profitable endeavor. And getting that timing as accurate as possible is what the inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model is all about.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.